You're not gonna say it, somebody should. Let's talk about two time. Let's talk about bum one, yeah. Asking the questions that nobody could. Like, where are the bone thugs and are they in harmony? You're a helpful snowman.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to another program. It's 2016, and we're recording this a brand new way, by the way. I thought that, I feel like something wasn't quite right with our last automobile recording. Something about the sound. So hopefully it was listenable to you, but maybe this will be better. I don't know. But this is part of, today we're going to do the 2016 State of the Snowman address. So we can talk about where is this going in 2016? Because I think it's going somewhere very good. But you might... No, you'll like it. Let's just start right in. In 2016, we will be the recipients of a new Ninja Turtles movie. Okay? I saw the trailer for a second... in the series of Ninja Turtles movie that I believe is by the guy who does Transformers. Michael Bay? Is that who's doing it? I think it's the same guy. I don't know if I think it's the same guy just because I kind of hate both of them and feel the same way about both of them. You know what I mean? I'm like, ugh, these blow. And they're like a, you know, 80s, 90s kid nostalgia piece that they've really just... They've made it worse than just making another cartoon. You know what I mean? Like, it's bad enough if they just kind of lazily slapped a cartoon together into a movie. You know, the 90s Ninja Turtles movie, right? Movies. Bad enough. It's like, hey, I'm Raphael. Insert that pizza under the sewer and I'll just eat it. And, hey, I'm a party dude. I'm Michelangelo. And, Cowabunga. Vanilla Ice. Etc. Bad enough. Okay? But... fine. I mean, I don't know. You got Corey Feldman in there. You got Casey Jones, who ended up being on fucking one of the cop shows, a CSI, perhaps. They had something. Somebody tried at some point to make something, right? At some point, somebody was like, well, you know, we could have this crazy indoor skate park. I guess that's something. I mean, I felt a sense of danger when, what's his name, Danny? When the kid goes... There's this great part where they attach all these bells to a mannequin, and they're like, you have to steal a bell without ringing it, and then give it back to us, and then we'll let you in the Foot Clan, and, you know, they throw down smoke, and then, of course, the Ninja Turtles do it for him. So there was some stuff. There was stuff in there, and I saw the new Ninja Turtles movie, probably the best part of which, in general, is Will Arnett... trying. Like, he's not like, it's not like he's overdoing it or overact. I don't even know how you act in these movies, to be honest, because it's gotta just be like, I cannot imagine the director of a Ninja Turtles or a Transformers ever saying something like, cut, can you do that again, but more this other way? Like, I can't imagine him critiquing or in any way understanding what acting is. That seems impossible. Implausible and impossible. But Will Arnett was trying. I mean, he could have just given up, I think. I mean, his co-star was Megan Fox, who, like... I don't know. I don't really know what people say or think of Megan Fox. But, I mean, she's a pretty person who... I don't know. I don't even know if she's a bad actress or not. But I've never seen a movie... and been like, Megan Fox is in it? Well, that increases my desire to see the movie. I don't know if she specifically decreases it either. But, you know, there are certain people where they're in a movie and you're like, well, that increases my interest. Because they seem to do good things or make things or, you know, I don't know. You know, there's those people who are consistently the best part of something that's not great. I mean... the biggest failure to me of Jurassic World that no one seems to be talking about is that they didn't make Judy Greer the main female character. I could have used a lot more Judy Greer in place of, you know, Redhead McBlandy, whatever her name was. Because there's no movie that I think is where I was like, not only did I think there was too much Judy Greer, but not enough. I mean, not only was there enough, but not too much, I should say. I've never felt like watching Judy Greer like, okay, we get it, Judy Greer, God. No, it's usually more like, well, I could've, wish we weren't cutting away from Judy Greer right now and going to whatever this boring shit is. So there's a new Ninja Turtles movie coming out. Oh, also, a great thing in the other Ninja Turtles. I'm gonna tell you the truth. The action made no sense, but wasn't terrible. When they were, like, fighting a thing or sliding down a mountain or whatever, like, that was weird and it didn't really make sense, but it was thoroughly watchable. Which is kind of how I feel about the Transformers movies, is, like, I can complain all day about how terrible they are and how they have no story and don't make sense and, like, they have a guy's name that's, like, you know, Cade Gunring or something. But, you know, giant robots fighting giant robots in the city and destroying things is pretty fucking watchable. It's very unclear how you damage a robot so that they die to me, because it seems that they're robots, alien robots, that for whatever reason have humanoid form and also put their brains in their heads, which I don't get. That seems like a bad idea, because if I could redesign my body, I might relocate my brain. Because if I could, you know, put a shell around it, an armored shell, because it seems like having your brain... So, for example, if you're shooting people all the time, I have to look around the corner to shoot this guy. It would be nice if I could just look around the corner, and then if this guy saw me, he could shoot my head, and I'd be like, oh, I'm fine, because I'm a robot who put my brain in my thigh. Because no one expects it in the thigh. Everyone expects it to be, you know, I don't know, a tiny microchip I put in my penis. Thanks to Intel's new micro technology, I can fit my brain inside my penis. God, that would be a fucking amazing commercial for them. Do you realize that with the computing power, here's a computer in, you know, 1968, and it filled a whole room and blah, blah, blah. Do you realize that that computer could fit in my penis? And let me tell you this, I got a small penis. Hi, I'm Mike Small Penis, head of Intel. The other thing that I will say about the Ninja Turtles movie that I saw, the new one, was that it has Whoopi Goldberg in it. Briefly. She's like, for some reason, she's Megan Fox's boss at like a newspaper or something. And you know, you're supposed to feel bad for Megan Fox because Whoopi is always busting on her for these ninja... She's like, oh yeah, I bet you just saw these fucking Ninja Turtles everywhere. And I think you're supposed to be sort of sympathetic to Megan Fox, but it's really hard to be sympathetic to her because she just goes in. She's supposedly a reporter and is like, Whoopi. I don't know what her name was. I'm assuming it was Whoopi in the movie and they just cut it out and edited it. Because if you can add giant turtle men into a movie, you could certainly call Whoopi Goldberg by her regular name and then just edit in a different name later. Whoopi, I saw these giant turtle men. And then Whoopi says, okay, what evidence do you have? And she's like, nothing. Or, you know, she's got a blurry nighttime picture of a turtle jumping from roof to roof that could, the picture could be anything. And, you know, Whoopi doesn't believe her. And I think you're supposed to feel bad for Megan Fox, but you also feel like, well, what is she supposed to do? Be like, this just in, giant turtle men. We go live to our own reporter, who I have no way of knowing just made this up completely. But what the fuck? Here we go. Take it away, Megan Fox. But, you know, like, the true disappointment, I gotta say, of having... You put Whoopi Goldberg in a Ninja Turtles movie, right? These things have crossed paths. Not since Theodore Rex has a reptile and Whoopi Goldberg been mashed up in such a significant way, okay? And probably never will be again. Unless Whoopi's in number two. I need to check the IMDb page to find out, because this could fulfill the dream that was so horribly dashed and not met by the first movie, which is this. Why do you have Whoopi Goldberg in your Ninja Turtle movie, and Whoopi Goldberg and the Ninja Turtle are never in the same room together? Why would you do that? Why would you put those two elements in a movie and not have them meet? That's like having Indiana Jones in your movie and RoboCop in your movie. Somehow, you've created a film where these two things coexist, actual RoboCop and actual Indiana Jones, somehow in the same world at the same time, in the same city, talking about each other, and yet they'd never cross paths. That's how I feel about Whoopi Goldberg not being in the same room as a Ninja Turtle. That is how I feel today, and that is how I will feel for the rest of my life, unless that's the promise that's fulfilled by this second movie. That's all I wanted to see. I wanted to see Michelangelo peek his head over the cubicle, and Whoopi turns and looks at him and is like, "Didn't I tell you to get my coffee?" And he's like, "Cowabunga." And then he walks off to go get coffee. I don't know. I don't care. I don't even care what the interaction is. I don't care if she goes, "Aw, hell no," and punches Michelangelo in the face and knocks him out. I don't care if, like, Whoopi beats Shredder. I don't care if Whoopi falls in a sewer and a turtle rescues her and she's passed out. Just seeing the giant turtle man carry the stunt double of a Whoopi Goldberg passed out is enough. That's all I'm asking. I ask for so little out of life. I was just talking the other day to Poon Master Flex about what's depressing about my life. And I think what's really depressing about my life is, like, I'm not really looking to be, like, a millionaire. And I'm not looking to have a mansion. And I'm not looking to drive a brand new Mercedes. And I'm not looking to be famous. All of my life goals are, like, very attainable. You know, they're very realistic and things that most people have at some point in their life. Like, my end life goals are not way beyond a typical human man. Especially, like, a white American male. I feel like my goals are super realistic. You know, it's like, I would like to own a home of some kind. I don't even care if it's a standalone house or an apartment. And maybe I'd prefer an apartment or a condo because I don't really like doing yard work. And, you know, I don't really want to pay $250,000 for a house, but what are you going to do? I'd like to, you know, drive a car that is reliable and that I don't worry about. I'd like to have enough money to not worry about if my car breaks down that I'm fucked. Like, I'd like to have enough money to where my car breaks down and I'm like, well, whatever, I take it to the shop, I rent a car for the week, and the inconvenience is the worst part, right? Like, that's the kind of life I want to live. I don't think that's a huge request, but I can't. I'm not there, I guess I should say. And she's like, well, you know, most people don't have that when they're your age. I mean, I think 40 is about when most people kind of settle down and have their life together. And I was like, yeah, that's true. And then I was like, oh, okay, so I've got like 8 more years or something to get my life together. It doesn't seem like a lot. Doesn't seem like a lot. Anywho, that's a little preview of the snowman, State of the Snowman address. My New Year's, I wanted to tell you about a little bit, because there's an exciting new game that's been developed by yours truly and some friends. Went up to a cabin, stayed in a cabin. We did our own ball drop as we did last year. This is an activity I recommend. Okay, you can plan it and get a piñata or something, or just make one. Last year we had the Jam-O-Lantern, which is a Halloween pumpkin bucket that has speakers put into it, and sunglasses hot glued to his face sometimes. They fall off. This year we used a semi-transparent bag. Everyone took their cell phone. We looked up a video that was called Flashing Lights and Colors Extreme Seizure Warning. I don't know if extreme seizure warning was part of the title or just the warning. It was just a warning and not title related. We put them in the bag, we suspend them up high, and then lower them when it's New Year's. I think this is like a nice tradition to have your own ball drop, because how many times do you need to watch the ball drop? I have not watched this since I was like a child. There was this one great year where we got a few friends together and we just were playing like Nintendo 64 and drinking and having a New Year's. It got to be about 11:50 and one of the friends was like, okay, let's turn this off and watch the ball drop. And I just burst out laughing because I was like, I haven't had TV where you could watch the ball drop since I was like 12 years old. I have not been in a house where that could happen based on what I own. I guess if I was in someone else's house and they had it and I didn't know, that's a possibility. But for me, that's not something I would even know about. I just thought it was hilarious to even suggest we do that. And, you know, and then she was kind of pissed, understandably, because I guess that's just what you do. And then she was like, well, that's happening in 10 minutes. There's no fucking way I'm seeing it. Drop your own ball. Drop it like it's hot. We played some games as well. You know, I'm not a big fan of board games. You know, we played Cranium, and I was supposed to charade multitasking, which is just crazy. I mean, like, here's a little tip for anyone who's making a charade-style game. Charade things that are fun or would result in people doing something weird. If you charade someone eating out an ass, that's going to be funny. That is going to be hilarious. Even if you don't know what, if you don't guess it, if I don't win the points and I watch someone for 1 or 2 minutes charading eating out an ass, I've won. This game, everyone who was there that day, we're all winners if we saw that. If your game forces someone to do that, everybody wins. Everyone in the room is a winner. So then we played Pictionary. In this closet, there were a few different things. There was Pictionary, there was like a John Elway puzzle. There was, for some reason, there was one of those fucking birds. You know this bird with the top hat? And it's like a bulb full of liquid, like blue, whatever liquid they pour on a tampon or a panty liner to show in the commercial that it works. And supposedly, you tip this bird into a glass of water and he just keeps drinking, like, forever. I have never been able to make one of those work. I don't understand how they work or how to make it work. Ever. I've never made it work. And I keep thinking, like, this is going on my to-do list for the year, is like, look up if those birds work, and if so, how you get them going. Because next time I'm confronted with those, may not be until my deathbed or beyond. Deathbed, bath, and beyond. I want to know. Death, blood, bath, and beyond. I want to know, though, how to make it work. And if it works, or if it's just a big fucking lie. Is this a big trick? Is that what this item is? Other item I want to learn this year, for sure. How to properly start a bunch of logs on fire. Now, there are a lot of people in this world who think they know how to do this. And I would argue that you don't know how to do it unless you can do it with, like, one sheet of newspaper and one match. You know, because, like, I got a log on fire when I put, like, an entire fucking newspaper in there and just lit it, and it was just an inferno that anything could be burned by. But trying to do it, like, you know, with a reasonable amount of fuel and stuff like that was impossible. And, you know, I'm standing there and the log is smoking, and I'm like, I can't decide if I should try and, like, turn it over or leave it or what the best course of action is. And I'm trying to think, like, everything I know about fire, and I'm, like, picturing burning ants with a microscope, and, like, how bright that spot is, and how I probably shouldn't have looked at that shit. And then I'm thinking, like, okay, you have to have three things. It's like a triangle, right? Like, fuel, oxygen, and heat. And then I'm like, okay, that does me no fucking good. And then I start getting angry at anyone whose house has ever burned down. So I'm like, how the fuck did you burn your house down? Is it possible to burn logs on purpose in a fireplace, and then you're telling me you burned your house down? What the fuck? So I need to learn how to do that. And every time I do it, I fail at it to some extent. And then I'm like, one of these days I'm going to learn how to do this. As I'm doing it, I'm like, it probably take me 5 minutes on Google to figure out how to light a fire good and how to be good at it. But then when you don't need a fire, it's amazing how quickly you don't care about lighting fires anymore. When you're not trying to do it, it's amazing how quickly you're just like, oh, fuck it. Who cares? It's like anything. Like, we have this thing in the shower at home that I really hate. I don't know if Poon Master is listening to this. I'm sorry if you are. I hate this thing. It's a suction cup thing that goes on the wall and, like, holds your shampoo and shit, right? And it's, like, bracketed. It goes around the shower head and then is held up by two suction cups. And when we first moved in, I swear to God, this thing fell off every time I was in the shower. And I was like, it must just be me. It's got to be just me that's having this problem. And I was just trying to live with it. But I think the suction cup is the biggest fucking lie that's been perpetrated on the American people. Suction cup does not work. The suction cup holds up the weight of a suction cup. That's it. You know, I have a Spider-Man action figure on my window that's hollow. And I think the suction cups mostly hold him on, but sometimes he falls off. Okay? It cannot hold that much weight. And so then they create all these shower, it's like a basket, and it's like, oh my god, this is so convenient, because it just goes on the tile, and then it's like, no, the suction cups are a lie. They're just a trick to get you into the shower so then everything falls on top of you. And it's always, always, this thing falls in the shower when I'm like, got my hair full of suds and my eyes, and I'm like, I can't even open my fucking eyes. I'm like, I hope my razor isn't falling somewhere on the floor that I'm going to step on it. And it just turns into a disaster. Anywho, I don't even know why I brought that up. Because we have this thing in the shower and it does that. Okay? That's all. I just needed to talk about that. State of the address, I'm mad at this thing in the shower because it's been falling down on me lately. And then I saw it must have fallen down on Poon Master because she put her stuff off to the side. I put my stuff off to the side because I was like, every day I'm fixing this thing. Also, it fell down twice after I got out of the shower. And that was, like, infuriating, because then you're like, well, now I gotta get back in the shower to fix this, and it's like, either I'm gonna get wet or the shower's gonna get dirty, and this is no good. The last place in the world you wanna be is the shower you just got out of when you have clothes on. And it's like, for some reason, that is the worst, that is hell. You are in hell. You're in Dante land. So, okay. The bird, the cabin, these things are in the closet. We play Pictionary. Now, Pictionary, I did not know until this time. And does anyone know this? Pictionary has a board with it. And like little pieces, and you move the pieces around on the board and roll the dice and all. I had no idea that this was part of Pictionary. I'm 100% sure we own Pictionary at my house. I don't know if I've ever seen this board part of it. You know, I don't know why it didn't occur to me, like, why it's in such a huge box is because it's got a board. Because I guess when fucking Parker Brothers in, like, 1910 were like, well, if you're going to make a board game, it's got to have a board. You can't play a board game without a board, now can you? So they made a board, and then they're like, Pictionary! Ah! So then you move around the board based on, you know, how good you are at draw. That is dumb. Let me start off by saying that's dumb and totally unnecessary. Let me tell you the right way to play Pictionary, or as I've redubbed it, Butchinary. Okay? Step 1. Take that board and put it in your ass. Step 2. Take all the pieces, calmly throw those away. You've already got a board in your ass, you don't need to do anything with the pieces. Next step. You shuffle the cards around, right, half-assedly, because it doesn't really matter, and you keep that die. And here's how the game is played. You do not make teams. Okay, teams are the enemies of gameplay, and the reason is, if a team is doing something, you've got nothing to do. And I'm telling you right now, because I've done it in the past, and I would do it again, if I'm on a team in Pictionary and another team is playing, I will shout out answers that I think are right. Or wrong. I'll shout things out. Why? Because what am I supposed to be doing? I'm just sitting there watching someone draw a thing and watching someone try to guess it. That shit's boring and unnecessary, right? This is the downfall of every game to me, is, you know, I'm talking about board games and I'm yawning because I'm imagining playing Scrabble with my family, and here's how they play Scrabble. When I play Scrabble, I look at the board while someone else is making their move, and I decide, what's my best move? If this board was my board, what would I do? And I make a decision. Now, someone else puts down another word. This is the crux of my family's argument, because they're like, well, when the board comes, you know, someone else puts down a word. And I'm like, okay, true. So the next person puts down a word. I then reevaluate. I say, okay, would I make my same move or a new move? I've only got this one new piece of information, this one new flaw. Would I make the same move or a different move based on this one addition? And then you say, okay, well, I'll make the same move. Then the next person plays, and you say, okay, same question, now it's my turn. Do I make the move I was going to make before, or make a new one based on this new word? A Scrabble turn should take you, like, 30 seconds. Because it doesn't take that long to decide. And, you know, you're making these decisions to come up with, like, ooh, I got 7 instead of 9. Holy shit. I'm going to win this fucking game like you're not going to believe. But, you know, this probably explains why I do so poorly at Scrabble. Scrabble needs to be a timed fucking game, though. You need to have a time limit on putting down a word. Because I feel like I lose most Scrabble games because I don't even care at all. I want it to just not be my turn anymore so I can just space out. Because I know I'm going to be here for, like, 2 hours. Okay. So you get rid of teams in Butchinary. Now, here are the drawing rules, and here's how it came about. I got the word touch, and I was like, I don't know how to draw this for sure. And then I said, okay, guys, there's only 2 ways for me to draw this. So I start by drawing. We threw out the timer, by the way, because in this version, it's only a hindrance to art. I start drawing a van, like a panel van. Then I draw a creepy guy standing near the van. Then I draw him putting his hand on a child. Okay, and then circle the contact between the hand and the child. And then it's touch, and they finally get it, and I'm like, oh, because it's like, you know, this weirdo is touching little kids. So then, you know, I drew something else, and it had a butt in it for no reason. And so then this is when Butchinary kind of formed at the table. Every picture that you draw must have a butt in it. You must start with the butt and then draw the rest of the picture. Now, I'm not a hardliner, and so in this version of the game that I'm talking about right now, it doesn't have to be a butt, but it has to be something wild. So, for example, one of the items I got was socket. So I started with a guy naked, and he was putting his penis somewhere. And then I drew the socket. So it's a guy putting his penis in a socket. Which, by the way, Art Spiegelman drew a picture of a guy with his penis plugged into a thing and he was being electrocuted. So really, I'm on the level of Pulitzer Prize winner Art Spiegelman. Okay? So in Butchinary, you do not just draw an electric socket. You draw a man with an erection putting his penis into something, and then you discover it's a socket, and then you circle that if necessary, and then they say socket. Right? If you're going to draw the Great Lakes, someone drew a guy basically squatting, taking a shit, while looking at a map of the United States, which, and then drawing the Great Lakes. This makes the game 100 times more fun. Because like I was saying, if you're having a charade of eating out an ass, having a picture with a naked butt in it makes every drawing better. It more interesting, and the game is more fun because you're like, I'm about to watch this person that I, you know, kind of know, draw like someone letting an octopus go in their vagina because the quiz question is octopus, right? You just draw an octopus, or you could draw a naked woman in a bathtub and then the tentacles going inside. That is a better game. I don't care what you think. You're objectively wrong. This is better. Pictionary is a game that's meant to kill time. It's for people who are like, hey, look, my life is longer than I want it to be, and I need some time where I have a prescribed activity before I can go to bed. Butchinary is a game for people who have joie de vivre, okay? You love life, you embrace it, and you embrace all of its fantastic possibilities, no matter how many tentacles. That's what Butchinary is, my friends. The other thing is, so instead of teams and playing the board, you keep that die. Each Pictionary card has, like, five things on it, right? Like, five possible things you could draw. So you assign those to 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and if you roll a 6, you get to pick whatever you want from the card. The end. And then, if you guess the card correctly, you take that card and you get the points. Now, here's another thing I've added on since this weekend for Butchinary. At the end of the game, there is a requirement. This was part of the game. Excuse me. At the end of the game, it is required that you take all of the drawings and put them neatly back in the box, and then put the box back where you got it, so that whoever plays that game next, which is especially fun if this is at, like, a rental cabin, is going to just be like, what the fuck game? What were their clues that resulted in this? And I will tell you this, too, for the effectiveness of this game. For those of you who are purists and like, I want to play Pictionary. The next day, we showed a player who wasn't there the drawings. I would say she got 80% of them, which is pretty good because, like, you know, in Pictionary, you start drawing something, and then based on what people are saying, you kind of change course or circle things or emphasize shit. And this was just like, here is the finished drawing. What do you think? And she got, like, 80% of them. So I would say Butchinary may be better than Pictionary in terms of telling what the things are. Okay, here's the other rule. So each card you get is worth a point. I also think that you should then spread the 10 pictures out on the table, or spread all the drawings out on the table. Everyone agrees on a top 10, like, best drawings or most hilarious drawings or whatever, a top 10 drawings, top 10 pieces from the game, and those people, those artists then get a point for each of their drawings that makes it into the top 10. Because that, you know, that rewards the drawing as well as the guessing, and that makes it, you know, fun. And you get to review all the crazy ass shit you drew. So there you go, Butchinary. Boom. We went to the Stanley Hotel, by the way. I don't mean to brag. I'm not bragging, actually. I don't understand the Stanley Hotel, and here's what I don't understand about it. Is it the haunted, shining ghost hotel, or is it like a fancy hotel? Because I went to, you know, it seems like they want to be a fancy hotel. And the only real reference to The Shining is, like, in the basement, you go, and there's, like, a room where The Shining tours happen. And then, I guess, they take you around and tell you about the hotel's haunted history. And the rest seems to be oriented to being a fancy hotel. You know, there's a Shining Hotel in Chinese in the bathroom. Okay? And then, like, you go on the tour, and, you know, my friend Nicanor was saying how they went on the tour, and sometimes the room from The Shining is occupied, whatever, 227, something like that. Sometimes it's not. So they swipe the card on the door, and if no one's in there, they go in. If someone's in there, the card doesn't work. He said when they went, in particular, they swiped the card. It didn't work. She's like, oh, I guess someone's staying here. And whoever was in the room, like, whipped the door open and was like, hey, do you guys want to come check it out? You know, because I guess they were a fan because you're staying in that room. Which this has led me to think, like, you know what a great business plan is? You open, like, a shitty motel somewhere. It doesn't even have to be in a great place. But then you have them film a horror movie there, right? Or film all kinds of movies there. Because think about, if you had a motel, and then they filmed, you know, you took a chance on some indie filmmakers, and they filmed, like, Paranormal Activity there. Now you own the Paranormal Activity Motel. And there's really nothing special about it other than the Paranormal Activity shit. There you go. Someone also needs to make, by the way, second genius idea. You get a motel, and you turn it into, like, a Halloween resort. So you turn it into a haunted experience. So it's like a haunted house, but it lasts all night. How crazy and great would that be? And you could charge people so much, and it would be the weirdest thing in the world. Anyway, so this hotel can't decide, because, you know, they also do weddings, and I remember the wedding venue being nice. I mean, it was a patio in the mountains, so what's it gonna be shitty? And where the reception was, I don't remember as well. And that's my own fault. But I do remember, like, I don't know. All wedding receptions seem to happen in a basketball gym, as far as I'm concerned. Like, where prom happens. It's like a table with tablecloths and a wood floor. And a DJ that I don't respect. That seems to be, you know, I'm sure that the Stanley Hotel's reception area was nicer than a basketball gym, but I don't know. See, they all seem kind of the same, right? I can't evaluate based on that. So I can't decide. And I understand, like, probably when that movie came out, the Stanley was like, well, here's the thing. Is this movie going to be huge, or is this going to be like, you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, where it's like, yeah, no one's going to the pizza place where the turtles went in the new movie. No one gives a shit. But at this point, I would be like, I don't know, it seems like the fame is pretty well lasted. I think you could coast on that shit quite a while, if you weren't all uptight about being a fancy schmance. And so, they did this year institute a, what you call it, a hedge maze, which is in the movie and is like a big thing and also fucking awesome. Like, who doesn't want a hedge maze? I mean, who is like, hey, you want to check out this hedge maze? And is like, no thanks. Everyone wants to run into a hedge maze. It's like every kid's dream. I feel like there is one hedge maze in the entire world, probably. I want to make that, I'm putting on that on my like life goal list. Visit a real hedge maze. If that doesn't tell you what I thought of the Stanley's hedge maze, I'll tell you this. It's a bunch of, like, baby pine tree kind of things planted, like, 2 feet apart from each other so their branches aren't even touching, and it's probably, like, 2.5 feet tall. And it takes, like, 3 seconds to walk through the whole maze. I jumped over, I went down the wrong path, which you can tell immediately, and I jumped over it and went a different direction. And I am not an athlete. My friends, okay? Anyone can tell you that. And I jumped over it. So that tells you that it's a pretty pathetic height. So the hedge maze there is terrible and is like real half-assed. And whoever made it, there's a plaque there with like the designer's name, you know? Which I was like, Jesus Christ, if I made this, I think I'd be like, well, you could take the plaque off. It's cool, you know? It'd be like if you did a shitty construction job and then they put up that sign that's like, we want to thank this constructor. Which I don't like that, by the way. It's like, big ups to such and such construction, Jim and Sons Construction. And I'm like, we paid them, right? They didn't do that for free. Okay. Yeah, I don't think we need to have this sign. Also, are the construction companies putting up their own sign? Their own road sign that says, like, thanks to such and such construction? Because I think they are. It's a little like when you see a house and that someone's like, such and such roofing did this, and you're like, hey, fuck you. Like, if someone came and did my roof and then put that in my yard, I'd be like, are you giving me like a discount on this or no? Okay, take your sign with you. I paid for that. I didn't pay for the roof at a reduced rate and then agree to let you advertise in my fucking yard. Get your fucking sign out of my fucking yard and fuck the fuck off, you bitch. Anyway, that's the Stanley Hotel. So here's the announcement I wanted to make for the next year, because I had an idea for the next year for this show. So for one thing, last year I thought we were like 2 or 3 shows away from doing one a week, but we were like 8 away or something like that, like not even close. Because I was like, hey, we did it, you know, and I know I didn't do it at a regular schedule, but we had enough shows. We had the right quantity. We did not. We missed quite a few. So this year, I'm definitely shooting for minimum of 52 shows and coming out regularly super early in the morning on Friday. That's the goal. And I think I'll be able to do that. I have better options now. I have this new equipment that I think is going to really help out a lot, because it means I don't have to break down what I've got at home in order to do something on the road. So provided this episode doesn't sound like dog shit, we've got a lot more options. Okay? We also have some guest options, and we have Skype option now, which is pretty radical. So here's the other part of the plan. And this is the money-making scheme. Now, someone asked me about, like, what do I think about monetizing the show? And, I don't think about it. Because, number one, I don't think any advertisers would actually want to do this. Like, would care. I don't have nearly enough numbers to be like, oh, yeah, come advertise on my show, Adam and Eve. Like, I don't think they'd give a fuck. Number two, I've recently decided that podcast advertising is a big scam, and here's why. When you put an ad on Mad Men, you don't have an ad on every time that Mad Men is seen forever in perpetuity. When you put a MailChimp ad on Serial, Season 1, Episode 1, every time anyone listens to that, they hear that ad. So that means that in reruns, you get it. If someone replays it for themselves, you get it. And it means that, you know, someone listens to that 25 years from now, it's going to have that fucking MailChimp ad at the beginning. And this is why I think advertisers were smart to do podcasts, because I think that for what they pay, they get a lot. Like, they get a lot of people hearing it, and it continues on and on and on forever. And it continues on past, you know, a lot of people do, like, put in code name whatever, and put code name Ace Man and get a deal on Mangrate, right? Well, long after that has expired, and long after that person is collecting things based on that offer code, people are still going to that website and trying that out. You know, and then maybe buying the thing, maybe not. But the point is, you're still driving traffic to the advertiser long after your agreement is over. Okay? And you don't have any control over that agreement. So if I put an ad on this show, it would be totally fine, because I'd be like, fuck it, like 10 people listen to this. I don't really care. And they can just fast forward. But then, you know, if 100 people listen to it in the future, I don't know how I feel about subjecting an unknown number of unknown people to an ad that I don't really, ultimately, and this is the real problem, I don't believe in most of these companies or things. I'm not going to bullshit you and tell you, like, oh, Squarespace, do that. You know, I'm not going to tell you that I'm doing something that I'm not doing. I'm not going to tell you that I think it's a important thing for your life to get a box of pre-selected snacks for you sent in the mail, because I think you can just fucking shop at the grocery store like a goddamn adult. Okay? If you want to do that for fun, that's great. But I'm not going to tell you that doing that helps me in any way. So ads are out. Merchandise is also not the best thing for me, because I have too small of an audience. You know, you guys are great, but there's not enough of you. And what's going to end up happening is I have to put down a lot up front in order to make merchandise. I then have to decide how much I think is appropriate to make from the merchandise. You know, what do I think is worth the profit? And something like t-shirts, that's really difficult. You know, that's probably the most popular kind of thing and probably a more valuable kind of thing. But number one, I don't want to do some shitty design. Number two, I don't want to print it on shitty shirts. I want it to be like a shirt you would wear. And number three, I'd have to get all different kinds of sizes, right? So that's not worth it either. That's not worth my effort. And here's the other thing with that and most other things. The time I could spend getting an advertiser or making a t-shirt, I think that what I should be doing is recording a radio show, right? Like, that's what people are interested in. If you like this, you're interested in shows, not shirts. That's like our slogan, shows, not shirts. So here's what I've decided, though, in order to monetize this. If I complete 4 episodes for the month, and I have those queued up to go live at the appropriate times and all that, if I finish another episode during that time, I'm going to throw it up on a website like Bandcamp. And I think that I can do this. I'm not 100% sure, but I think I can throw it up on there and then put a, like, pay what you think is fair. And, you know, the suggested thing will be like $1. This will be a full-length show, you know, 40 to an hour or longer. And this is just going to be whatever show comes next. So in other words, I'm not going to put up some crazy special thing on there because I think that's a scheme to force you to buy something. So if I only put up like, oh yeah, well this huge, if I put up Snowball on there and was like, well, to hear the conclusion of Snowball, you've got to buy this episode. I think that's fucked up, right? Like if I put the best things up there, I think that's wrong to people who listen. And also I think that's wrong because then who's going to listen to this show? If all the best stuff is behind the paywall, then you're fucked, right? Because everyone will say, oh, this sucks. Who's going to buy the thing if it's behind the paywall? Flip side, you fuck people if you just put garbage behind your paywall. If you're just like, well, this stuff doesn't really matter, it's just bonus, then people are fucked. So what it's going to be is just whatever comes next, okay? Sometimes that'll probably be the best one of the month, and sometimes it probably won't. They'll never be as good as like the first 100 because that's when I cared and had, you know, spirit and fire in my belly instead of just Metamucil. So that's the plan. And here's the other reason why I think it's okay to do it this way. I don't see, you know, I would put up the most valuable for pay if I thought that was a consistent and good thing to do. And also if it was a fair price, right? But the reason I don't want to do that, and the reason I think it's fair to put up something of, you know, middling quality for pay, is because if you buy one of these, I don't think you're buying that I don't think you should think of it as paying a dollar for that one episode. I think you should think of it as like, well, that would be the fifth episode of the month. So you're paying 20 cents per episode? For that, voluntarily, like you think, you're saying to me, you get 20 cents worth of enjoyment out of this. I think that's pretty fucking fair, myself. Like, I feel like if you paid 20 cents per hour of this, if you don't think it's worth 20 cents an hour, I don't know why you're listening to it. Like, that is crazy. That's crazy to me. So, to me, it's like, just consider it, you know, you're paying, you're supporting the entire show. And I know not everyone will buy them, and that's fine. And I know someone would probably put in, like, whatever the minimum is, you know, 2 cents. And that's fine. I think my purpose and my ultimate goal with the monetization, because people use that word, monetization, I'm not looking to make a living from this, because I don't think I put enough time and effort into it to warrant that. What I'm looking to do is break even this year. Okay? It would be nice if my online endeavors, selling Kindle books last year, I think I made maybe $30, probably less. Probably, I wouldn't be surprised if I made $20 to $30 would be my guess, right? In the year. It would be nice to make enough money that I'm not losing money on website hosting. That's kind of the goal. So, you know, that's a couple hundred dollars. And the reason, you know, I need hosting is because if you have files this large, this many, you can't just use like WordPress or some shit. You actually have to put them somewhere that makes sense. So that's why I need that. So it would be nice to just not lose money on doing a podcast. That would be great. I mean, I know there are a lot of people who are making money or not losing money. This is definitely a money-losing endeavor. And it's not a requirement. I'm not like, I must make money or it's over and fuck you. And I'm not like mad at people for the fact that it's cost me money. This is totally a choice that I made to do this, and continues to be a choice. But that's the goal. That's why, if you're asking why I would charge for these or why I would think they have that they're worth charging for, it's because I think it's acceptable to do enough to try and not lose money. Like, I think that's a totally reasonable expectation/goal. So there you go. That's 2016. Happy fucking 2016, you bastards. Get online, buy some shit, and make me, I was going to say rich, but just make me you know, even keeled. That's all I'm asking from you, is to turn me from a maniac into an even keeled gentleman. I don't think that's a lot. All right. We'll see you next time.